Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. He's knocking on my front door. He's out trying to save all the sinners. He's been here so many times before. Conversation. Man, that preacher sure can talk. He brings up my need for salvation. Even though he knows I'm stubborn to fall. Tell me one more about Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Lord, I need just a little more faith. The church Sunday morning, I slipped on in the back row. It sure been a long time coming. Tell me, preacher, what I need to know. A cool drink of water. He said, sinners, come on down the aisle. So I went running for the altar. You should have seen my old friend, the preacher, smile. Tell me one more about Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. I long to see my Savior's face. Oh, I long to see my Savior's face.
Thanks for inviting me, Billy Gaither. See you later.
Bendito Deus e Pai, nós te agradecemos por mais este dia na tua presença. Pedimos a tua graça para este programa, Deus. Em nome de Yeshua, nós te pedimos que tu nos uses para instrumento da tua graça, Senhor. Que o teu reino seja consolidado na vida de todos aqueles que estão separando o tempo para ouvir este programa e aqueles que ainda vão ouvir possam retirar proveito da tua graça, Senhor, através das nossas vidas, da vida do nosso convidado, irmão Jim, que tu abençoes, Senhor, pela sua disponibilidade, que tu venhas, Senhor, agraciar-nos com o teu espírito para nos conduzir em toda a verdade. Possa o teu povo reter aquilo que é teu. É o nosso desejo, em nome e para a glória de Jesus. Amém. Amados, estamos agradecidos por estarem presentes, por dispondo do vosso tempo para ouvir a continuação deste testemunho impressionante de vida, que é a vida do irmão Jim Wilhelmsen. Para aqueles que ainda não ouviram a primeira parte, o irmão que fez frente à grande mentira que se instalou desde primeira metade do século XX nos Estados Unidos, quando começou a aparecer aquela doideira toda sobre os ovnis, os discos voadores que caíram em Roswell, e toda aquela paranoia que se instalou. Nosso irmão foi um dos primeiros cristãos a tomar a frente da batalha contra essa mentira demoníaca. Quando todos os americanos pareciam estar a caminhar para um abismo de um governo que pactuou com essa mentira, aquilo que nós acreditamos ser os anjos caídos dos últimos tempos, este irmão montou uma loja dentro da própria localidade onde aconteceu todo esse acontecimento misterioso da queda, da recolha dos discos voadores, e começou a falar a verdade, o que é que seria aquilo. O sobrenatural a instalar-se nos Estados Unidos, por incrível que pareça, ele foi rechaçado, foi combatido inclusivamente pelas igrejas evangélicas que estavam naquele local, se alimentando de todo o turismo que aquilo gerou, um pouco à imagem daquilo que é o turismo religioso que nós temos na Europa. E daí em diante, o nosso irmão nunca mais parou de lutar contra essa mentira e tem seguir essa linha, de estar sempre na linha da frente contra tudo o que é inovação tecnológica e científica que vem tentar dar força a essa mentira de que os aliens são os nossos criadores, que nós estamos num processo de ascensão, consciência e por aí fora. Enfim, é um irmão que está na linha da frente contra tudo o que diga respeito a mentiras da nova era. Então eu convido vocês que possam ouvir a primeira parte, assim desejarem, mas estejam atentos porque ele vai voltar agora para dar continuidade a tudo aquilo que ele tem vindo a falar. Ele conseguiu expor tudo muito claramente, desde a ligação, desde a Segunda Guerra, todo o ocultismo ligado aos nazis e como tudo isso foi transportado para a América, e vai dar continuidade para a era moderna que nós estamos vivendo, porque estamos cada vez mais a ouvir falar de transhumanismo, de genética e por aí fora. Então, fique connosco porque vai valer a pena para que você acrescente entendimento à guerra espiritual que, como cristão, terá que enfrentar, seja como vítima ou como vencedor. Que Deus os abençoe e, depois de darmos as boas-vindas aos nossos irmãos em inglês, estaremos fazendo um período de louvor e connosco e ore por nós para que o inimigo não impeça. Não impeça aquilo que Deus preparou para as nossas vidas. Tenham um bom dia, em nome de Jesus. Amém. Brothers and sisters, once again, I welcome you for your time. I welcome for your presence, for giving your time to hear this impressionant testimony that Brother Jim Wilhelmsen will bring again to us. I welcome you all for those that didn't hear the first part of the program. Brother Jim is one of the oldest Christians that are fighting in America against the fallen angelic UFO deception. Okay? He had been installed in Roswell fighting against this deception and saying the truth. And since he became to Christ, he never stopped fighting this deception. Today, he is an author of books. He has also radio programs. And he's still fighting against this deception, this new age deception that all the UFO world is trying to join forces to bring the great delusion to the earth, to bring a new salvation to humankind, just to want us to make us forget the pain, the blood, the cross of Jesus Christ in our life. So I welcome you, I invite you to stay with us to hear the rest of this testimony, because our brother has a lot to say about these modern technologies, these modern deceptions, how the science and politicians are joining forces in this great deception against the faith in Jesus Christ. This is the Armageddon, the spiritual Armageddon that is being prepared. The lawns are being dried on this battle. So I invite you to hear the rest of this testimony, because he has already spoke about the connection between the Second World War, the Nazi system, how America being a great blessing for the Europe, bringing the freedom to our nations here, they took with them the curse that it was the occultism that was behind the Nazi system. And now they installed there, and since there, that time, America is being full of darkness. And this phenomenon of ETs and UFO is just a modern way of the fallen angelic army deceive humanity. And this is a courageous brother that we have honored to have again on our show, because we have a lot to learn with him and to learn with his example of life. So I invite you to stay with us. We will have our praise time, and then I will bring Brother Jim. I hope that he's already hearing us. I will bring again, and he will join us to give continuation to his testimony and his insight that you can be a part of this war against the fallen angelic deception. Stay with us and be blessed in Jesus' name. Revealing things.
Ele vem revestido de santidade. Ele é a canção da eternidade, o novo cântico nos lábios vai verter, como um rio nos relevos da minha vida. É a canção da eternidade que vai fluindo, anunciando o caminho para o mar. Momento sublime ele vem, na viração do dia ele vem, no momento da angústia ele vem, ele vem e se revela a mim. Quando ele fala o coração estremece, tudo em volta muda, tudo acontece. Ele vem revestido de santidade, ele é a canção da eternidade. Ele lava os nossos pés, nos purifica e nos enche de alegria e de verdade, e começa a cantar dentro de nós a canção da eternidade. Ele é o próprio Deus Todo-Poderoso, que por meio de Jesus nos resgatou, que nos inspira as canções durante a noite, que nos faz cantar pra viver feliz. Thank you. montañas, cerquita del cielo, cerquita de Dios. Quiero vivir allá donde el aire es puro y sano, donde puedo respirar el mismo sol. Pero todavía no, no. Quiero vivir allá donde el río es abundante, cerquita del cielo, cerquita de Dios. Quiero vivir allá donde un día sé llevarme, donde puedo respirar el mismo sol. Pero todavía no, no. Y aquí estoy, este valle de huesos estoy, soplando vida y aliento, aquí estoy, en este valle tan desierto, tan sediento de tu amor, aquí estoy. Cerquita del cielo, cerquita de Dios. Quiero vivir allá donde canta la mañana, donde hay árboles que danzan con el sol. Pero todavía no, no. Y aquí estoy, este valle de huesos estoy, soplando vida y aliento, aquí estoy, en este valle tan desierto, tan sediento de tu amor, y aquí estoy, en este valle de huesos estoy, soplando vida y aliento, aquí estoy, en este valle tan desierto, tan sediento de tu amor, aquí
Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you bless the rest of the show. Bless our brother Jim Wilhelmsen, that everything that you bring to this show can consolidate your kingdom in our hearts and minds. May the Lord bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that we have already Brother Jim online. Brother, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm fine. Welcome again to our show, brother. It's a pleasure and honor to have you back. I know that you were willing to complete the rest of the information that you brought. But before we go there, I would like for you to make a resume about what we have talked about in the last show, okay?
Jesus. Well, if I can remember, we talked about quite a few different things. You know, basically, we're talking about the whole UFO alien scenario as being an end-time deception, part of the great deception that Satan would put upon the earth. And a lot of this is a convergence of the supernatural with the natural. And yet, in many ways, some of the signs and wonders that are amazing miracles, instead of being a display of some kind of a magic show, it's going to actually be through science and technology. It's going to be a seduction. It's going to be something that most people won't have to accept by faith. They'll accept by seeing, tasting, hearing, you know, right in front of their eyes. They're going to be presented with a deception that will be contrary to the Word of God, but it'll seem very real. So some of these things are technologies. You know, we reduced it down to the two simplest things, and that was the two lies in the Garden of Eden. You should surely not die, and your eyes shall be open. You'll be as gods. So the idea of cloning, circumventing God's word that says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Satan is going to provide an imitation copy, I believe, through cloning, through transhumanism, and some of the other up-and-coming technologies to produce a false sense of eternal life, whether it be a body, whether it be a chip that transforms your DNA into something other than human. There'll be a false sense of eternal of an eternal body and living forever through science and technology. The other technology we discussed briefly, I think, was the idea that God is described as being all-present, all-knowing, and all-powerful. So that if man was given a technology that could make him all-present, he would think that he's all-powerful and all-knowing, and that would be the ability to travel time through time, and time being one of the end-time missing pieces of the puzzle to the whole end-time delusion. So that, I think, mostly that's kind of what we talked about, and some of it being done through secret societies, and unfortunately the main pioneers were, of all things, the worst people, the government that ever existed on Earth, and that was the Nazi regime.
Yes.
So I think that catches up.
We have ended the show precisely about the time travel and about when you ended connecting the dots about the Nazi system and all the legacy that was brought to America, and how from half of the 20th century become happening strange things in the America territory, and not only there but mostly there. And we were talking about this, about the Roswell phenomenon, possibly would be a time travel incident.
Yeah, that was, at Stevensville, Texas. In 2008, there was massive sightings, but there was a specific procedure that everybody saw. But now, suddenly part of it is being missed. Nobody's giving testimony. Some of the people that I personally interviewed have changed their stories. Some of these people I really feel were honest people with the highest level of integrity, especially the police chief of Erath County. And now suddenly they've burst and changed their testimonies. And I don't, I certainly am not accusing or calling them liars. I think they've been approached by our government and threatened or intimidated to change their story and to stick by the government's story. So there's two different things going on here, and there's definitely a cover-up. And the series of what was seen was, first there was these crazy squiggly lines in the air. Then people saw either two glowing orbs or they saw two red glowing orbs. Some of them even saw something inside the globe or the orb, and that was a bell-shaped object. Many people had seen a bell-shaped object. That is what's been covered up. Nobody wants to declare this bell-shaped object, and there's reasons why, and I'll get it in a minute. Then the next thing they saw were jets, American fighter jets, chasing after the bell-shaped objects. And then shortly after, some people saw black triangles, other people saw just a typical silver disc object, of a UFO. And then days later, people started seeing huge, mile-wide, like motherships that were barely moving, covering the sky, almost as if they were scanning the surface looking for something. And so in most of all the documentaries, all of the researchers that quite frankly are more experienced than I am as a researcher, especially the MUFON people, they're very well-trained. So it's not like I discovered something that they overlooked. They're purposely keeping this quiet, and it's the idea of a bell-shaped object. And the bell-shaped objects, the reason why they're keeping it quiet is because bell-shaped objects has only been seen one time, and that was in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania in 1964. Something crashed. It looked like an acorn or a bell. It had glyph-type writings on the bottom of it, and it was almost as if the government was anticipating something like that happening. Roswell was a complete surprise. This was not a surprise. They were ready and waiting, and as soon as that object crashed in 1965, within hours, they had the thing tarped off on a 2.5-ton truck, carried away. All witnesses were silenced, threatened, or intimidated to be quiet. You didn't see anything. And they had complete control over the whole situation. The only other time a bell-shaped object was ever mentioned in history, throughout all of man's history, was at the fall of the Third Reich. There was a compound that was equivalent to Area 51 in Prague, actually. And in this facility, they were working on a project, and we accidentally discovered it. We knew they were working on an atomic bomb, and that's why we let the Russians come in and be the victors of taking over Berlin. We kept them busy as a diversion because our main focus was getting to this compound because we wanted to find out what information we could garner or gather on the atomic bomb program. When we went in there, we were shocked and surprised to find out they were working on circular disc aircraft, and they were working on this bell-shaped object called the Diglocka, which was a experiment in time travel, and it looked like a bell. And I drew a picture of the bell to the witnesses that said they saw a bell, and they said, that's exactly what I saw. And in this bell, they had runic language inscribed or engraved on the bottom of it, just as what was described in the Kecksburg situation. Now, one of the police chief said that he had a video, and you could clearly, and I emphasized, I asked him, I said, now, is this just video that you have? Is it just two fuzzy dots, or can you see the objects inside? And he says, oh, no, you can see the bell-shaped objects. It's very clear. Now, in the latest video on one of the programs on, I think it's either Sci-Fi or the History Channel, latest documentary, he's recanted all of that and said, no, it was just two fuzzy dots. You really couldn't see anything. This man's not a liar. When I talked to him, I discerned from the Holy Spirit that this was a man with the highest level of integrity, an honest man, one who loved his country, his family, just a regular guy, you know, just like any of us. And for him to renege that way, it had to be because he was intimidated by our government to change the story. So I haven't pursued it any further because I don't want to risk anyone else's life. This isn't really a life and death situation. I know that it's a cover-up. I've gone that far, but I'm not going to further investigate it because I don't want to see anybody innocent end up getting hurt. We're touching on some real serious stuff here that can depend on a person's life or death.
Okay, I would risk to make a comment to hear what you have to say. I would say that the same beings that came down in Genesis 6:4, Advent, the fallen angels, they come again on these modern days with this robot of UFO and alien things, most modern language, okay, and they deceived. Jim, can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up really bad. Now I can start. Now I can hear you. I even went online to get the broadcast so I could hear it on delay.
Okay, so I'm going to repeat because I know that this would happen since that we start talking about these things always happen. So this is not a new thing. So now I'm not breaking, okay?
I'm clear. Yep.
Okay, I was saying that in my understanding, what the fallen angels are doing is manipulating the government since the end of the Second World War, they want to transfer the system that control all the Nazi system to America. And since there they introduced with the Roswell advent Trojan horse in the American society. And since then they are trying to open portals, okay, what we call time travel. For me, it's just a manipulation of matter to open portals to other dimensions to bring their hosts to here, to control all humankind if they can. So for me, it's simply, it's a modern fallen angelic deception. But maybe you have more insight to bring this.
Well, you know, that's exactly what it is going on here. The attraction first was because the Nazi regime didn't just dabble in the occult. They were the first official occult government since the Tower of Babel. I mean, everything they said, they did, every icon, everything about them was about the occult based on Helena Blavatsky's secret doctrine. They believed that they were destined to regather the people and the technology that lived in what they referred to as Atlantis, what we from a biblical perspective would say would be the world before the flood. So their whole agenda was to bring back the people and the technology that existed that God had destroyed in the flood. This is the very movement and spirit of Antichrist. So they came into contact with the fallen angels, and the fallen angels gave them their technology, their ability to literally dig into hell and ascend into heaven, just as Amos said that would be impossible for the Jews to do, but in the same but opposite, it was exactly what the agenda of the opposite of God's people, the ones that were searching and seeking out for what they believed was their ascended descendants, which were nothing more than the fallen angels of Genesis 6 chapter. They came into contact with them. They made alliances. Their own prophecies were fulfilled. They believed that they would that a pure strain of their race existed in an inner hollow earth. They discovered the openings, one of them in the Antarctic. They had a last redoubt fortification called Base 211 in the Antarctic. We realized it. We tried to flush them out because we sent our only expert, Admiral Byrd, in 1947 under the Operation High Jump to try to flush them out. We got our butts kicked. We turned back, and it was amazing that it was hushed up. They left with a big fanfare saying that they were doing further seismic graphing and charting and testing military equipment under severe extreme cold weather. And when they came back, it was all hushed up. It was quieted. And he was told to keep quiet and not say anything more about it. On the way back to a Chilean newspaper, they had to ship to short conversation. And it's alleged that Admiral Byrd had told the Chilean paper that in the future we would have to contend with aircraft that could go from pole to pole in a matter of minutes. Well, this was hushed up and covered over, just like the old Roswell incident was. But it's interesting that when Admiral Byrd got back and was told to be quiet, he started pushing and promoting using the Antarctic for testing our atomic bombs. And finally, many years of kind of pushing this, in 1952, just months before it was ready to be put on the floor for consideration, the Capitol in the White House was buzzed by massive UFO sightings. Now, this happened three times. Jets were sent out. As soon as they were sent out, the UFOs blinked out as if they weren't even there. As soon as the jets landed back at the air bases, they reappeared. Happened three different times. You can go on YouTube and see the color film footage of it. It's pretty dramatic, pretty interesting. But what I noticed was that these UFOs were flying in a typical Luftwaffe pattern, and that's a mind blower. You know, it's just there's just so much evidence. In my book, I cover all the different little dots connected, the contactees of the 50s, how everything they saw, they said, were told, was nothing more than the Nazi agenda rehashed under a different scenario as being aliens from other planets. They were Nazis from this second readout. The fact being that they may have lost the war because they had technology too little too late to do anything, And they really couldn't use it as a weapon at that point anyway, because they hadn't developed any light technology like lasers or anything. And knowing the technology of what a UFO does and is, you can't send a projectile through one gravitational field into another. So all they could do is appear as aliens to the very land that took them over and win the hearts and minds of the people over to their own agenda, which they successfully did in a course of 60 years. Uh-oh, it seems like we're breaking up again, brother.
What about now?
Yes, good. I started praying. My praying's okay. Out.
Okay. I hope that you can hear me now.
Yes, I can hear you very good.
I was talking, I was asking, in your opinion, was the Philadelphia experiment something that had success or they failed, like they post on the news?
Well, I think we delved into an area by accident. We were merely trying to make a ship invisible to radar. Literally what they did, mm-hmm. using a Tesla coils, was they made the darn thing breach the space-time continuum. And it was mm-hmm. the first time that something like that happened on our part. That's why when we heard rumors of what the Nazis were working on, we took it serious, because we found ourselves already delving into that area, not totally understanding what we had done or why or how. So we took what they were doing very serious and kept it the highest, top secret priority.
In your opinion, brother, I don't know if you covered this on your book. By the way, the book is called Behind Science Fiction. You can check on the link that I put on the chat room of the website of our brother, echosofenoch.org. There is a link there that talks about his latest book. In your opinion, what will happen in I want to give a time like 2 years from now about all this disclosure that people are trying to make the system of Obama accepting, because the Russians have already said if you don't disclose the UFOs, we will do it, and they are doing this. So I am seeing something strange on the horizon. I just don't know if it's completely controlled by the Illuminati puppets or if it's something new happening. I am seeing.
No, I think it's completely controlled by secret societies. They're going to end up putting one, group of people against another group of people. They're going to proclaim good alien versus bad alien. Whatever disclosure we get by any government of this world, none of it is going mm-hmm. to be the truth. It's all going to be divisive. Yeah. It's all going to be to put us, one group against another group. The grays being the demonic evil bad ones that line up with every description of demonic entities within the Bible. And then the Nordics are going to look like the angelic beings that are trying to help out mankind. So they're playing good cop and bad cop. They're both bad, and they're chumping us in the middle, thinking that we got to make a decision between a good or a bad one. So somehow they're politicizing us. I think some of it can be easily, by paper trail, easily shown. And this is where when Snowden had announced to the Iranian government that tall, blonde aliens were in control of America. These are the Nordics. And he's trying to make a connection that somehow, and they're even saying some are good and some are bad. Well, you know what? They're all bad. They're all fallen angels. An angel of God is going to call himself an angel of God. He's not going to call himself an alien. So what they're trying to do, though, is to cast doubt on our own government, which I think has already been taken over from within by the Illuminati, by the secret societies, by Satan literally himself. And I think, and I got it in my book, I clearly explained by scripture how this has already been prophesied, that it would in fact happen. And we're seeing it happen. Most of us that are Christians in America are beginning to understand that we are just like Jews in Germany just before Hitler came into full power. We're seeing the storm clouds on the horizon. What happened in Germany is going to happen in America, only it's going to happen against Christians. There's a subtle It's just very subtle in its stages right now, but Christians are being implicated as being part of the cover-up to cover up the whole UFO alien presence because of fear that people won't believe in God, they'll believe in aliens, so we're helping cover it up so that we can get as many people saved before God comes back, which is totally silly. I mean, if any true born-again Christian that knows the Word of God knows it, God doesn't need our help. We're not going to help him bring the kingdom. We're to win souls for Jesus Christ today on a one-on-one basis. But we're not going to, you know, we're not going to usher in anything or prevent or help God out. He doesn't need our help. He's got a plan. He's in total control. And I truly believe it's been prophesied that America is going to be taken over from within. And we've already gotten there. So they're starting to politicize all of the alien intervention within mankind. Because of Operation Paperclip, the Galen organization, there clearly is a connection between the Nazi technology, the scientists, the theosophical beliefs, the spirit of Antichrist, has taken control of our nation. 60 years ago, we have now become what we fought against on a battlefield 60 years ago. It's been slow and subtle, and it's been at the liberal democratic left wing and the conservative right wing sections of our society, of our political systems. Both systems have been totally controlled and corrupted and taken over from within. So ultimately, socialism is going to be the global, you know, government, like it or not. It's going to happen. And it's just a matter of what flavor do you want? Do you want communist socialism or national socialism? Either way, you're going to get socialism. Oh, did I lose contact with you? Hello? Yeah, we're breaking up bad again.
Okay, let's wait.
Here we go. Okay, now I can hear you again.
Okay. Well, we are used to this, okay? So it's not strange.
Yeah.
There's a guy that works on the military system in America called Charles Hall. He talks about the white, tall whites that work on the base in Nevada. So this is something that what you are saying, it's becoming clear. So the lines are being drawn in this future war, and the aliens will be the excuse, I think, for all the solutions they want to bring. So we
yes.
are seeing that the foreign side, the Russians want to disclose everything, want to bring everything to inform. On the other side, there's a resistance because maybe Obama is seeing that the Illuminati and the secret society wants to take down his role on this, like Hitler. When they tired of Hitler, they want to bring the power to America. Now, it seems to me that they want to transfer the power again to this side of the Atlantic Ocean. So I don't know if Obama and the ruling elites in America, they are willing to accept this. Maybe there's a problem there, because or it's all orchestrated, but I don't know if it is real all orchestrated. But what I feel is that the Christians in America, the real Christians, they are the last obstacle to this agenda. Your prayers.
Yes, I agree. I think you're totally right.
Yes, I'm not talking about the lukewarm churches and the mercenaries that are on pulpits. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking the true body of Christ, the spiritual body that doesn't follow.
Yeah, we have a small remnant, and it's always the way it's been all throughout the history of the church. There's always been a small remnant that were faithful, that followed the Lord. And we have just a small remnant in America, but that small remnant is what's standing in the gap, holding the world together from coming into a one-world Antichrist system. And that's why there's going to be a persecution. You know, I always wondered why Satan allowed God to assemble people from all over the world to become America without too much resistance. And then I realized, oh, my gosh, because Satan had his own plan. You know, when you take animals to the slaughter, you got to corral them all together. And that's why Satan didn't resist much in the formation of America, because he realized, hey, okay, a Christian nation. I'll gather all the Christians, the majority of the strong Christians from the world, I'll put them in one country. I've got them all corralled together, and then when I decide and choose to, I'll have them annihilated. And that's what we're going to see happen in America.
But let me just energize this, because this is important for my understanding, for my role. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good.
Okay. I guess this is my role here to do this show and to bring people like you. It's important for Christians to understand what is basic and what is superfluous. The important thing is to understand that the thing that unites us is the cross of Jesus Christ, is blood.
Man.
It's not a pre and after tribulation doctrine. It's not the millennium and premillennium understand. Nothing of this is superfluous. And Satan is trying to divide the body of Christ with things like this. And that's why Jesus said to so much prophets that when you will come, one will go and another will stay. That's because a lot of Christians are fighting against each other for things that Satan wants them to fight. But when comes these principal things, these salvation issues, like this fake alien invasion saviors that are coming to deceive all the world, like the monetary corrupt system that has installed on church, the people of Christ, they don't fight for these big truths. They like to fight between them, but they don't like to fight Satan. And I'm amazed, because it's our families, it's our lives, it's our faith, it's our eternity that is in stake. So you better prepare, Americans. We better prepare all like a body, because we are a remnant. We lost in numbers, but we win in quality, okay? So we must concentrate, focus on the principal issues. And this is the principal issue. Now we know there is a elite, a Satan seed that rules all the money. And this is proven by so much testimonies. Even insiders of the system that are coming out saying this. There is an alien race controlling the system, the money system. And
Amen.
We better prepare, because we have the power of the spirit. We don't have the money, we don't have the weapons, but we have something more powerful. It's the Holy Spirit. And we cannot be deceived and spend our time fighting each other with things that Satan has planted to divide us. Can you comment on this, please?
Well, you know, brother, I got to tell you, as an American, as a veteran, a conservative all my life, even before I was a Christian, it really pains me to see what's going on in America right now. I mean, I hate to say it, but the FEMA camps are not for the ungodly and the judgment upon them.
Yeah.
It's for the church. It's for the church, because God
told
us. He told us that unbelievers are going to know of my love when they see how you have love for one another. And especially in America, we are nothing more than but a bunch of rich, pampered babies that have never had to struggle too much for anything. We've been overwhelmed in most of the major churches and major denominations by prosperity preaching. God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and that's your sign of your spirituality. I mean, we have become so vain. We are just like Israel was before they were taken into captivity, never to be returned back to Israel in Babylonian captivity and the Assyrian captivity. We're there. We're right there. We are so filled with our own sense of self-righteousness, of vanity. Now, the good part is we spent 300 years evangelizing the world like no other nation ever had since Christ, since Paul. But we grew fat. In that. We rested on our laurels. We became seduced in our own prosperity and our own blessings from God, saying, wow, we're really special people. We did this on our own. We praise our own sense of technology, our own sense of science, our own sense of human strength for doing all these things that were actually God's blessings. So we need a horrible wake-up call. There's a subculture within even the born-again Christianity. We believe that somehow debating is the way that we learn. Debating was a Greek format for the ungodly, that's how they learned, but that isn't something that should have been carried over into Christianity. We should have dialogue. Dialogue says that I'm going to share with you the hope that I have within me and why I believe what I believe, and I'm going to give you an equal opportunity to say the same, and then we'll let the Holy Spirit decide in each individual heart of the hearers. Nobody's a winner, nobody's a loser. There's no threatening environment, there's no sense or need for strategy, no sense or need for driving a point to try to prove yourself right. There's no ego involved. In debating, it's all ego. Whoever talks the best is going to win. Truth is trampled on sometimes. It's an evil thing, yet we've promoted that as a church throughout the whole world. We're going to be held accountable for that. We're going to be held accountable for our doctrinal disputes, our arguments, our constant bickering, fighting. That's why the FEMA camps are formed, because just like Israel was before they were taken into Assyrian captivity and Babylonian captivity, all the prophets are told, look, you're going to go before a stiff-necked and rebellious people. What's a stiff neck? A stiff neck means you can't turn or flex or be flexible. You're rigid in your doctrines and your preconceived ideas, and nobody's going to change you from that. And rebellious means that you're so convinced by your own doctrines, you're not open to hear anything that's maybe outside of the box, that's something that God is trying to inspire and bring you to. And this defines America right now. If Obama never said anything was right before, the one thing he said that was true, we are no longer a Christian nation. We have become a pagan nation. And that's to the shame of the church, because nobody believes us because we're too busy arguing with each other and acting like the devil. So how can you act like the devil and try to proclaim the love of God? It doesn't work. People don't believe it. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. And even I have, you know, for many times have tried to convince people that debating is ungodly. We need to get rid of it. We need to have a format of dialogue, trust in the Holy Spirit. He is the bearer of and discerner of what's right and wrong. If a person is truly led of the Lord and they've got information that came from God, they don't have to defend it. They don't have to drive it home and prove it. And they don't have to, cram it down somebody's throat. They don't have to debate it. It's not open for debate. You just share what God has told you, and you rely on the Lord to confirm, verify, and clarify what truly God has said. And that's the way it should be, but we don't do that.
I am convinced, my brother, that if it was not the remnant that is still in America, that these watchmen that are uncovering the schemes of the secret societies, we have already been on a third world war, you see? I still believe that God wants us to use it as to stay on the brick, on the wall, to pray, make prayers for delaying this plan that Satan has planned to bring the apocalypse. And I hope that these shows and so much others that are being done awake for the true urgency of the hour, that we come back again for the simplicity of the gospel, okay? Not
amen.
To
yes.
Serve Jesus by Jesus, not by his name, by our favor, but for him, for his glory. Yesterday, my brother, I did a program. It was called The Hidden Wars of Yahweh. It talks, I'm going to put on the chat room the biblical scripture that was the base of this program. It talks about something that it's in Genesis, but it's not in Genesis. It's in Genesis, it's referred in Genesis, but only on the book of Jasher and other pseudo-apocryphal, apocryphal books are really related. I'm going to read, because this is important for what we are going to say after.
Sure.
In Genesis chapter 48, Genesis, verses 21-22, it says this: "And Israel," meaning Jacob, "said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God will be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brother, which I took it from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow." This is Genesis 48:21-22. This is a strange declaration of Jacob before he dies to Joseph, after he gives all the instructions to take his bones with him when God will visit them in Egypt. Because in Genesis, we don't see what Jacob is talking about. Because when he dwells in the Canaan before he goes to Egypt, there is an episode where one of his daughters is raped by a prince of the Amorites, and his brothers, Reuben, Simeon, Judah, they revenge the honor of his sister. I don't know if you remember this. And in the next chapter starts the history of Joseph, and when he goes to be sold to Egypt by the envy of his brothers. But in Jasher, there is a detailed history around 3 or 4 chapters in Jasher that talks about this war that happened between Jacob and his sons, and all the descendants, the Nephilim descendants from the fallen angels that were the Amorites. The first giants, they were already there when Jacob was there. I don't know if you have already read the Jasher book, the book of Jasher.
Yes, I have.
It's all there. And it's incredible what is happening there, because I hope that people will hear the show and check the show notes, because it's important for us to understand what kind of power God wants to deliver to us in these last days. Because we can see there perfectly described between these wars they fought against these giants. They were only 12, and they won because God provided them with supernatural powers. Like, for instance, when Judah, and you can prove this in other documents, like the Testament of Judah, that is not in the Bible, but it's from the perspective of the Israelite rabbi, it is well known, and it was very, very valid for them. And it doesn't hurt these scriptures. The Testament of the 12 patriarchs talks about, when it refers to Judah, about the special power that he had with his voice. Because when he screams, he changed the hearts of the giants, and they become with fear, and they flee from them. And this is serious, because it's referred in the Bible, all of these wars, and they try to hide this from us, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power that Jesus said that those that believe me, they will do work bigger than I do, that I have made. And only with this kind of supernatural power, we will prevail against this darkness that is coming. It is a supernatural darkness that is coming, my brother. And you know, but God wants to prepare an army, but only those that stop fighting against each other, stop worrying about the material things.
And that's the faithful remnant, and that's what I believe God is trying to call potentially any one of us that would have ears to hear, hearts to, and eyes to see, and hearts to believe, that we have to rise above that. We have to be those that are going to remain faithful and follow the Lord wherever He leads. And I believe in these days, that's what the Lord's trying to raise up, a faithful remnant. They're going to walk in the supernatural power and might of God's Holy Spirit, and they will not be subject to the world's wrath, Satan's wrath. They're going to be overcomers.
Amen.
They're going to overcome that. God is going to provide a way to see us through, to be the testimony.
Amen.
So, yeah, I kiddingly tell people that, as I tell them that the FEMA camps for America are for American Christians, I said, but unfortunately, I might end up in one too, because somebody has to sit there and tell you and explain to you what you aren't willing to listen to now. You're going to be more than willing to listen when you're in a FEMA camp. And my comparison to that is that You know, 6 million Jews went to the death camps in Nazi Germany, but 2 million Christians were there too. Why do you think the Christians were there? Not because necessarily they did anything wrong. They were the ones that gave the hope. I think we're going to be really surprised when we get into heaven. We're going to find that many of those Jews that died in the death camps accepted their Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah before they went. Why? Because God saw that 2 million Christians were expendable to be martyrs for the gospel's sake. And probably you ask every one of them, they would say, man, I wouldn't want it any other way. I was able to lead, you know, 20 people to the Lord that would have died in eternity, in eternal hell. But God used me, and it was worth it. I was willing to pay that price. And you'll get a martyr's reward for that. That's where God wants to bring us to that sense of self-service. Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his brother. That's where we got to get, man.
Brother. And there are a lot of courageous men like you and L.A. Marzulli and Steve Quayle and so many others. They are doing the best they can to wake up people, you see? Like the Eggman and Eggman show that has brought so many people to the urgency of the hour. But at the same time, I am watching a revenge, okay, a vengeance of those pickpocket ministries that are on the pulpit in the mega church and the corrupt system of titans of law, Christian grace mixed with law. They are stealing and they are serving the system. I only see that we will have victory if we didn't completely separated from this system. Okay, we cannot be sitting on two tables. We can only eat from drink from the pure water. Because if we can save our good life, our comfort zone in a war against all these demonic hordes, you better believe that you will end like the wife of Lot. If you start looking back. If your heart is in the system, you don't take your time leaving the system, because if you leave your heart there, if you only bring out your body, so leave your body there. God doesn't.
The Lord is the message that I've been getting from all different areas and levels and ways. If we're only willing to listen in America, is that God's reminding all of us, look, it's the little foxes that destroy the harvest, and the little things in your life that you don't think are that important or that related to the bigger things, they are, and you need to give them up. And, I mean, you know, and this is in just every facet of our life. Sometimes, you know, as we progress in our Christian walk and we've refined ourselves pretty much by, you know, by any outward show, but there's still struggles, inner struggles, you know, secret little things that we aren't giving up, and those are the things that are the keys to supernatural power. We got to give them up so that we can get the fullness of everything the Lord has. And I point a finger back at myself as well as anyone else. I'm still struggling with things. I've got to overcome these things in order to get the fullness of what God has for me in these drastic, horrible times. I mean, it's great now, but that's part of the deception. It's like, Jim, it's great now, yeah, but you know what? It can be so much greater if you just give over 100%. Let these little things go. Let the little foxes out of your life so that they don't eat up all the grapes and ruin the harvest. And I think that's what God's saying in all of our hearts. I don't care how spiritual we are. You know, we can be more if we're willing to give up more.
Yes. And that's the victory, right? Because Jesus said, those who try to save their lives, they will lose them. But those they lose their lives for the sake of the kingdom, they will save them. His life. Well, I can talk by myself. I am serving the Lord since 24. I have 44 now. I'm serving 20, and I have myself seen a lot of times with the death in front of me. Okay, and when I saw death in my family and my life with disease that Satan has brought to my life and things like this, and so much other things. Well, I just say, okay, God, this is not my fight. Why am I going to worry? If I was asked for you to deliver to you my burden, why am I going to take him now? So people must understand this is a game. This is a game. When Satan is allowed to touch in us, we must be broken and say, okay, God, this is not my fight. Take it. And we learn to rest in God like this, not buying guns, not trying to save our money. No, against alien demonic beings, there are no money that can save us. There are no weapons. Okay? It's only the supernatural power of God. The things that when we are used by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, we touch the matter, we change the circumstances. If you read in the book of Joshua what these 12 brothers, sons of Jacob, did against the giants, the situations they were in battle, surrounded by giants, and suddenly Judah gave a shriek, and all the giants fallen from the walls, like the walls of Jericho, with the power of the sound of the voice of Judah. Supernatural strength that God gives to this man to fight against the giants. Read by yourself and you check what Jacob is saying there. This is the power, the real power that Satan tried through the ages to hide from you. Stolen these books from the Bible. Please, God, I hope that Father opened the hearts for the mysteries of the kingdom, because it's these mysteries that will make the difference, will delay and stop the agenda of the enemy. Like, you know, my brother, and you can talk about this if you want, you know that the only thing that can stop an abduction experience, it's the name of Jesus, right?
Yep, you got it. That's it.
Can you emphasize that one of your experience or someone that you know?
Probably the worst case that I ever had, a case that I didn't even know whether I was going to help this guy out or not. When he called me, he was 43 years old. He had lost his wife. He had lost his rights to visit his two daughters. He was so fearful and frightened that he stayed with his 80-some-year-old father in a room. He couldn't go to work anymore. He was too afraid to go outside. What happened to him was he saw a UFO. He had a UFO sighting. He doesn't remember any encounter, but he lost 2 hours of time. When he came back home, he started seeing orbs that were coming right through the walls right into his room, and it terrorized him. And it got him so scared that in time, he began to be disassociated with his wife, and he couldn't, function properly at work. Then because he was acting so frightened and bizarre, he lost, she left him, and then he lost visiting rights or privileges with the daughters, and then he was so afraid he stopped working. He just stayed in a room, cowered in a corner, waiting for these orbs to come in. When he called me, he didn't know Christ, so I explained to him, I said, well, the only way I can help you is if you're willing to be introduced to your Creator. If you're willing to, I gave him the basic gospel, and I said, now, if you're willing to believe that and accept that, the only thing I can give you is your Creator and a relationship with Him. And once I introduce you, then He can work in your life. I said, but I can't give you a principle, formula, or method, or a system, because that's not going to work. The only thing that's going to work is Jesus Christ in your life. So he accepted. Then I started giving him scriptures to take authority in the name as a child of God to make these things go away. And I explained to him like this. I said, when you have these experiences, it scares you, right? He says, yeah. And I said, well, they're feeding off of your fear, and they're playing on your fear. And the fear is what has caused you to be separated from your wife. It's separated from your job. It's separated you from life. Satan has just about taken everything away from you except your life. And from what you told me, that was the next thought that you had. So you got to give them something else. Think of this like this. Every time you have fear, these things are coming through the walls. Okay, it's pretty weird. It's pretty scary. But are they threatening you? Are they bringing severe amounts of pain? He says, well, no. I said, no. They're not really doing anything, are they? They're just showing up. and you're freaking out, and they're just loving it because you're giving them a steak meal. I said, let's give them indigestion. You need to start getting confident in your Lord and the promises that God has. So here's a bunch of scriptures. I want you to memorize these, and I want you to quote these back. Man, I'll tell you, this brother, this guy was like a sponge. Everything I told him, he just followed to a T. He memorized these scriptures. He used them. He started quoting them back. These things were going away. He was seeing that there was no reason to be fearful because they weren't hurting him. They weren't doing anything. Now, I've had other cases where people have been hurt, but that wasn't the case with him. It was just a psychological messing of his mind. So as he quoted back scripture and everything, these things went away. And I said, now, we have to take the next step. Satan can only attack you when he feels he has legalistic right or ground. So somewhere, somehow, some way, there's a hurt, there's a trauma, something in your life that has triggered you to believe a lie that you have to act a certain way in order for this not to happen. So we need to go before God in prayer, and I'll lead you in that, and we're going to ask God to start bringing back memories, and you're going to let me know what you think of or what first thought or first image you see, and then we're going to go from there, and we're going to find out what door you have left open, and then we're going to shut that door. I said it may be something totally unrelated to the incident here, but it's way that they think they have a right to harass you. We're going to close that door, and then they have no ground to stand on. And not only do we beat them off all the time, because they'll keep coming back if we don't find out what the hurt is or what the trauma is to close that door. Once you close the door, they're going to have to go away because they just have no ground for you anymore. I said, but I want you to no longer be afraid. I want you to quote these scriptures. I want you to have confidence in God. And I even want you to get cocky to the point where you're going to laugh at them at their attempts to make you afraid. And you know, and when you seem, when it seems like it's, you know, you reach an impasse, I want you to raise your hands, and I want you to start praising God and thanking him for what he's doing in your life. I said, the demons cannot stand when somebody praises God. I said, when all else fails, start praising the Lord, and they'll go away. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you, and the devil flees. And it works every time like that. When he did that the first time, he called me back, and he was so giddy and overwhelmed with joy. He says, man, I can't believe, I'm going to do this all the time. This is fun. So it took about a year, but after a year, he regained his family. He regained his job. His job is better than ever before. He's just gotten everything back. What the enemy came to destroy and rob and steal, in Christ, he's gotten everything back even greater, almost like what Job went through.
And that's,
this can happen, and it doesn't happen in all cases like that, but this can happen with anybody once they accept and realize that by accepting their Creator, their Lord, their Savior, as Lord and Savior,
right,
and then start obeying him, everything can come to a stop, and it can be a totally 180-degree different change in their life.
And that's our role on this war, you see. We are not the Saviors. We are cooperating with the Savior for, on the right opportunity, to give them the instrument, the supernatural instrument and knowledge to fight this sin, okay? The same fight that you are fighting there, you, my brother Jim, and all of my American brothers, that are, will fight against this deception that is the alien. I have been fighting here with the religious aliens, like the Holy Mary and things like this, that appear in the same, almost in the same time of the Roswell advent, you see? And people cannot hear me. When I say this is a fallen angelic deception, they have to bring down, to take down from his horse like Paul. And when they lose everything, on when they see that there are no more solutions, they start hearing the truth. Because it's a big deception to all the world, okay? So that's not strange that the Pope is saying now that we have to welcome our brothers, our alien brothers, and then our Savior, our Creators, because it's all the same coin. It's the two faces of the same coin. It's the same origin. It's a deception. And people only will hear when we show that we have power when they lose all their hope. This is true, my brother. What we are seeing is God changing the powers because he wants us to use us. So do not be afraid. Do not be deceived to fight for the wrong things. Ask for the supernatural power. That's what we will have to save us and to save others.
Amen.
You understand, my brother? That's what, the only thing that will save us, our families, and all the others that are blinded by the God of this world, is the supernatural power. And we will see a lot of things, strange things, bad things that are happening now. But the army of God will raise and will start doing big works, and people will open their eyes. My brother, we don't have much more time. I would like you to talk about your book, about your last book that you have public. It's called Behind Science Fiction. We need to talk this because it's important. It's an important title, because what we are going to see in the next years, it's behind science fiction. It's stranger than science fiction. And we must prepare ourselves. We must prepare that God is bringing provision. And we must prepare spiritually, mentally, for the strange things. Things that the system never want to teach us. But even the scientists, they are doing more than these fake ministries of God. For instance, when we hear the old saying that in nature nothing is losing, everything is transformed. It's true, my brothers. We have the power to change matter because it's everything light, it's everything energy. When God supernaturally heals somebody and removes the cancer, it changed the matter. It changed the matter of the cancer. It's the power of the sound. And God wants to give us this power by the whole. It's not our power, but we have His Spirit inside of us. And we will have His power in our tongues to change lives, to bring blessings. My brother, talk us about what you want to mean behind science fiction.
Well, the whole premise of my book, Beyond Science Fiction, is the fact that everything that God does, God is a God of order and structure. And the problems that we face today in this world is that we are beginning by technology and science to begin to understand some of the secrets of heaven, some of the things, the way God does things. Only, however, that in this current fallen world, it's being misrepresented, and it's trying to take away God's sovereignty on these things. So that in the minds of most people, if science can explain something that God did, then that takes away God's power from it. Well, it's just, you know, anybody can do that. We don't need God. Mm-hmm. And that was Satan's whole problem in the Garden of Eden. He looked around and said, hey, I don't have to follow him. I can do this. I'll set out in my own business. And so basically that's what caused the rebelliousness of Satan in the first place. He said, I'm not going to follow God. I can do this myself. I will be like the Most High. I can, you know, provide man with an eternal life. I can provide man with an eternal environment. I will do all these things my way, and it'll be the same but opposite of what God is, so that I will circumvent God and provide this stuff so that they will worship and follow me instead of God. They don't need to be accountable to God. And so he gives them the free and easy choice out without accountability, and man just gets sucked right into it. So the very two things that Adam and Eve lost, their eternal life and their eternal environment, is what Satan is plans on giving them back through this linear existence. So that one of the pretenses on my book is that there is nothing that God has not told us about within the scriptures that are going to come against our faith. So in other words, in the voice of modern science that tries to debunk everything and anything about God, there is no threat that will come against us, whether it be artificial intelligence, whether it be cloning, whether it be transhumanism, whether it be traveling space-time, creating artificial intelligence, uploading and downloading into an avatar. All of these things have already been addressed in God's Word. God has given us a clear, solid foundation. So what my book tries to do topic by topic and layer upon layer, building up to what this whole total end time deception is showing all the secrets of heaven, all the secrets that God now has revealed to us through his word. He said that, you know, he told Daniel, he said to shut up and seal up the things that you've seen until the time of the end. For it's not for you, but it's for the time of the end when knowledge will increase and people will run to and fro. We're living in those times now.
Right.
We need, all stops are pulled. We need to believe God that whenever we, whatever we ask, we're going to get an answer. When it comes to a threat against our faith, when it comes to a lie that comes against our God, God is going to let these things out. When I understood the technology behind a UFO and what it actually does and everything, somebody once challenged me and says, well, if this is forbidden knowledge, how come you know it? And I laughed and I said, well, you know, that's a good logical question. I'm glad you asked that. I said, well, consider this. That's been let out of the bag. And it's been, and the truth is there, but it's been maligned and coming against God, making him look like the bad guy or a control freak. So it only stands to reason God's going to have to now let us know, okay, yeah, this is true, but here's my perspective on it, and here's how it's being divisively used by Satan to take you away from me. So that's the only reason we know all these secrets now, is because God's putting it in a right established order so that we can regain our trust, confidence, and love in God's love for us. He didn't let us know these things because, look at the world. We learn how to use these things. We don't use them for good. We use them for bad. Splitting the atom, instead of using it for unlimited resources of power, what do? We blow each other up. And the same with anything. Anti-gravity travel, time travel, we're not going to use it for good. We're like a little kid with a gun. We don't know any better. We're just going to use it for evil because that's the sin nature that's within us. So in my book, I try to address all these different topics that have never been, you know, preached from the pulpit. And not that they're lacking. These are all new things coming against the church. And somebody has to be the first to say, okay, God, what is the truth here so we can stand in a gap? Well, I guess I'm one of the first that decided that, you know, God, everything that's ever going to come against us, you've got an answer for. I'm going to believe you for it. So you got an answer for time travel. You got an answer for artificial intelligence. You've got an answer for alien intervention. You've got an answer for all these crazy things. I'm going to believe you for it. Tell me what it is so I can share it with others. And that's basically what my book has been about. I try to share not only the right perspective on these new technologies and new things, but I try to show how they've been divisive, what wrong conclusion they're going to come to, and the hope that we can have in Christ to be overcomers through all of it, because we can. What doesn't kill us is going to make us stronger. And our faith, you know, we Amen. Learn by trial and error, and we can make a lot of errors. But, you know, the difference is pick yourself back up, accept God's forgiveness, and go forward. And even, you know, it takes, Amen. Okay, I will tell you that, you know, it takes a little bit of brain matter to go through prayerfully and ask God to lead and guide in the scriptures. And I admit it takes brain matter, but you know what it takes more than the brain matter? Just a loving trust and faith in your Lord that if you ask a question and your heart's right, you want to know the answer so you can provide a better foundation for all your brothers and sisters to stand on, you're going to get an answer. It might sound weird. It might make you the biggest nutcase in the world. But if God told you, you got to stand on it, believe it, and proclaim it no matter what people say about you. And that's what I've tried to do in my book.
Yes, and when did you publish?
Well, the first time I actually published it, I jokingly call it my cookbook version. I had a spiral bound, and I actually published it off of my own printer and distributed it, you know, on a small level. But, you know, it was a start. Then the first publication actually came in 2004. Then I had a more professional one in 2008, and that's when it went on to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and became, you know, a nationwide one. And then recently, because I own the copyright, I was able to find a small printer that could print it for, oh, geez, probably one-third the cost of what I used to pay. I couldn't even afford my own book on a publish-on-demand publisher that published my book. Now, L.A. Marzulli helped me find a publisher that did it really cheap, so I sell my own book on my website for $15 compared to $3 that Barnes & Noble or Amazon call it for.
I invite every listeners to check the site and to read the content of the book, because this will connect a lot of dots. For people that are awakening now for the real spiritual war and the big deception that's coming to this world. It's not a new deception, it's just a reformation, okay? It's another cloth that is dressed. But to understand the modern version, you check this book because it brings all the history and connect all the dots until these modern themes, modern issues that are bringing now. That is, you see, I see that it's everywhere. You go to a movie, you see the Illuminati symbolism. You see what they want to teach us. You go to the news, to the media, you know what you read. You only read what they want. So this is the Matrix. This is the Matrix. And the better you understand the origins and the modus operandi of the Matrix, the better you'll be prepared, spiritually prepared, to fight this battle. It's your faith. It's your salvation. And it's your family. But you know what?
Amen.
There is a power that can change matter, can change circumstances, can do the same work that Jesus did with his voice. And it's inside of you. If you decide to be on the right side of the war, on the right time, in the right place, with the right person. But if you want to stay in Sodom and Gomorrah, or if you leave something there, you will not overcome. You can call Jesus, you can call the blood of Jesus, but if your heart is still there, if you don't love Jesus more than yourself, if you're not able to deny your flesh for the sake of the kingdom of God, for the love you must have for Jesus Christ, the same love he had for you, you will not overcome. You can be full of money, you can have all the respect of the churches, but when comes the big deception, when comes the dark hour, the destroyer, you will be with the mark of the beast. My brother, I don't have words to thank you for your time that you gave us to have. Every time you come, you take us to another world. You take us to the real world that we all should live here, because we belong to the spiritual world, not to this world. We're just passing by here to do a service to our Lord. And it's a pleasure so great to talk with you. Do you have any last comments to give us before we end the show?
Well, you know, someday, and I'm praying about it. Right now, I'm on Social Security, so my funds are very limited, but I'm just believing the Lord. I would love to be there in person to meet the people there, to be able to have eye-to-eye contact, to be able to preach and proclaim what needs to be known and heard. And I'm just believing the Lord that somehow he's going to make a way for that to become possible. There are several places on this earth that I'd love to go, and one of them is South America. I think that South America, during the time of a great tribulation time, for a time of an upheaval, that South America is going to be a safe haven for a lot of people, because it's not going to be the big object of attack or being imposed upon. I think Europe and Asia is going to be, you know, that's where most of the explosive stuff is going to happen. But I think South America is going to have a ministry of reconciliation, of comfort, of preservation. You're going to be a safe haven. And I would just love to be able to share, you know, some of that with the people to help them prepare for the great things that God has for you guys down there. It's, you know, all of us.
I am not in Brazil. I am married with a Brazilian girl, but I am a Portuguese. I live in Europe, okay, but I have family there. And I can tell you that this time I am a little bit worried about Brazil, because we have a fit extension of the Illuminati system there on the government, you see. I am very worried about Brazil, because we have a very problem there. You will see now in next month, when it starts the Soccer World Cup, you will understand, because you, people will manifest. They are living in a, they are trying to make Brazil something that is not, okay? There's a
right.
lot of
yep.
problems there. There's a lot of problems there. Maybe they later they will be what you were saying, but not this time, my brother, not this time. I have been in Brazil last year, and there's a lot of problems there.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the Illuminati has pretty much controlled every nation on this planet. They've got their plants in important key positions and key areas.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't left any stone unturned, except they forgot to
yes.
read Revelation 19 and realize that they lose in the end.
Yes, yes.
They don't believe that anyway,
and
but they do.
Know,
but...
And you know, they will lose because people like you, people like L.A. Marzulli, and people like me, they... We don't surrender. We prefer to die. We prefer to lose
exactly.
this life here than to lose eternity. That's why they will lose. Because God, if he sees, he doesn't change. If he sees 10 righteous on a city, he will spare the city for that 10 righteous. So it's
the most righteous enemy a person can come up against is someone who has no fear of death and has some kind of confidence that what they're doing is right. And as Christians,
that
should define
that's
us.
True. That's true, my brother. That's true. And it depends on me. I am crucified with Christ now. Okay? My life
Amen.
Is Jesus. I don't
yep.
know how to live unless I serve my Lord. My brother, I want to end this show with a request from you. I don't have how to contact Brother L.A. Marzulli. Can you please make a bridge between me and him? Give him
sure.
my contact.
Sure. Yeah, I think he'd love to be able to talk to you guys.
Like, okay. Maybe he would like to come to share what he's researching. I know he has been in South America, and we were very pleased to have him also in our show. And I hope that you come back soon, okay? So you know that our doors are still open. Anytime you need, it's a pleasure for us to have.
Brother, whenever you want me, man, it's always a pleasure.
Amen, my brother. We will keep in touch, okay?
Okay, in the next few days, I'll give you all the contact information I have for L.A.
Thank you. If you can, please talk about our show to him, or it's not going to be a complete surprise, okay?
Sure. Oh, yeah, I will do that.
Okay.
All right, man.
Thank you very much. My brother, God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
My brothers and sisters, thank you for your time. I will be ending the show with another song that I hope that break every chain in your life. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power. In the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Come on, say to
break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an